than anything. So y'all can sing along if you like. Go ahead, Brandon. Save our ship. That's very good. Save our soul. That one too. Amen. Save our ship and save our soul. You know, when I think of SOS, I think about Gilligan's Island. Them poor castaways. Of course, the way things are today, the world's not a bad life. But they're on this desert island, right? And I picture the rocks being formed to put SOS, the airplanes go by, right? SOS is a distress cry. It's a cry of distress. It's a cry of I need help. It's a cry of, Lord, rescue me. SOS, I need help. Save my soul. Save my ship. Lord, I need you. The Bible is full of the scriptures that encourages us that God is hearing us and that God helps us. And I believe in that. I believe God is very much involved with our day-to-day activities. I believe God is very much involved with what's happening in our lives. I think God cares very much whether your dog is sick, whether you are struggling to take an exam or a test, whether you are stressed over your job, whether you are stressed over your child, you know, whether you're stressed over your bills, your money, or your health. God is engaged in what we are going through. God cares. And I don't think there's anything too small that God doesn't care about. And so we need to go to God for help. And remember, we have someone who hears our cry and sees our signal, right? We're waving the flag. Hello, over here. Can you hear me, Lord? Can you help me? And I promise you, he's hearing us and he's helping us. And we're going to get into some scriptures tonight about SOS, how God, as we cry out to him, how God helps us. Psalm 121, verse 1. We'll read all 8 verses here. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. He says, from where cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. David's crying out. David had a hard life. He was surrounded by enemies his whole life. Always trying to destroy him. He was king. He was ruler. People always trying to destroy him. People always trying to attack his kingdom. He says, Lord, where's my help come from? And David had all that he needed as far as natural things. He had houses and lands. He had silver and gold. He had possessions and power and women and pleasures. He had everything at his fingertips. But none of those things could help him. None of those things could rescue him. None of those things could make his life different in the long run of what was important. And when he got in those moments of distress, those moments of fear, those moments of worry, those moments of where do I turn, he says, God, my help, I got to remember, my help comes from you. It doesn't come from who I am. Does it come from what I have? Does it come from where I came from? It comes from who I serve. It comes from you, Lord. He will not suffer, which that word means to allow. He will not allow your foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Our God's not asleep on the job. Our God is not the security guard in the bank in Mayberry. Aren't you glad? He's not sleeping on the job. Our God's alert. Our God's aware. Our God's awake. Our God knows what you're going through. It's amazing how he hears all of our cries and knows them all. He sees all of our distress signals and knows them all. He sees all of our ships in trouble and sees them all. He sees all of our souls in trouble and sees them all. Because he's God. I can't explain it. I'm not God. I just know he does. I believe God hears everybody, sees everybody, knows every thought, knows every intent of the heart, knows every frustration, knows every fear, knows every battle, and he cares for those. And we need to turn to him with our SOS signal saying, God, I need help. You know, the first thing that any person talks about with addiction is the acknowledgement of needing help, right? Whether it be alcohol or drug addiction or smoking or whatever it is that we just can't lay down. Okay, look, I've got a problem and I need help. It's acknowledging I need help. Once you acknowledge you need help, guess what happens? You get help. You get help. If we go around, and us men are a little bit stubborn like this, you know, we know where we're going all the time, and when your wife or whoever says, you sure we're right? We with confidence, but not really, deep inside, say, I know where I'm at, please, really? And we're sitting like in our soul, I ain't got a clue where I'm at, but I sure hope something pops up soon so I look like a genius. You know, I'm going around. But once we stop and we ask someone for help, see, I stopped at a gas station about a month ago. We was traveling the mountains one Saturday. I wanted to go see Mount Mitchell. I hadn't ever been there. So we're on our way to Mount Mitchell, me and Melanie, right? And I knew to get off the Marion exit and turn right. And I thought there'd be big, I mean, it's only the tallest peak or something in the East Coast. I don't know. I thought there'd be a sign. Mount Mitchell, big arrow, this way, stupid. You know, there's not. I get off the exit, and I don't see any signs. So I keep going. I'm like, well, I ain't seen no signs. I guess we just stay straight, you know. And usually I'm better at planning than that. Usually I'm really prepared. I know where I'm going. But I figure I see signs. It's Mount Mitchell, 6,600 some feet in the air. How do you miss it? Right? So I'm going down the road, and I stop at this gas station, talk to this guy. And I says, hey, I'm trying to find Mount Mitchell. If I keep going this way, do I run into it? Well, this guy he was from another country. And so he answered me. He says, yeah, go that way. Okay. I ended up in Boone and Blowing Rock. Okay, that's not the mountain that I wanted, okay? When you ask for help, ask someone that knows how to help you, okay? It's like going to the guy who's been divorced 3 times. Hey, man, how do you keep your marriage together? You asking me? Really? Or ask the guy that's always broke, that you're always buying his Whopper at lunch. Hey, man, so how do I get financial help? You're asking me? I mean, really? Go to someone that can help you. God can help you. He doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. Verse 4, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. You know what shade does? Now, there's a new term to young folks use shade for. And I hope y'all are impressing me for knowing this. I know this, though. If I throw shade on Gail, you know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing, do you, Mom? If I throw shade, I'm dishing them, right? I'm coming against them. I'm saying something ugly to him. Like I say, good Lord, man, you look old. I just threw shade on him. All right? That is right. I'm right on that, right? Pretty close. Okay, thank you. Shade. All right. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of shade, okay? The shade God is talking about, and you don't look old. I'm just playing with you. The shade I'm talking about is protection and covering. How many of us in the heat of summer, you're outside, you're maybe at a picnic or you're out of park, and man, you are begging to find a shade tree, aren't you? Man, you get under, if you work funerals like me, the cemetery is the hottest place in the earth in the summertime. You're out there and we are, you know, we love the ones that are buried near a shade tree. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for the shade. You're in a three-piece suit out there in a 95 degrees black suit in the middle of the sun. You is sweating. All right, and so we're looking for shade because shade protects us. Shade covers us. And God is saying, I'm your shade. I've got you. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to protect you. Just know I'm on duty and call upon me. Lift your eyes to me. I want to help you. Help is on the way. Verse 6, the sun shall not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you. Preserve you. That word preserve means to guard, to protect. He'll preserve you from all evil. He'll preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your soul going out and coming in from this time more and even forevermore. That's kind of help we need, right? We need God preserving us and helping us and watching us, our comings and our goings, backward and forward every single day. We need God's help. Nothing wrong with asking for God's help. Send the SOS out. God, I need you to rescue me. Because we are in a very broken, broken place right now with many people's lives. And they are searching for help. Drug overdose deaths are at an all-time high this year. And it's no surprise. Because of the COVID shutdowns and because of so many things not being available to people to go do, then depression is at an all-time high. And they are using more than they ever were. So we're seeing stats go way up with drug addiction because of oppression. We're seeing domestic disputes go way up because, hey, husbands and wives are locked up together all this time. It's good that a husband and wife sometimes separate and do their thing that day. But when you're together all the time, we're seeing an uprising with domestic abuse among kids because now kids are home instead of school. And some of them are in very bad homes with abusive parents, alcoholic parents, you know. And they're a part of that now all day long, just not in the evenings. And so we're seeing a lot of things different this year, and we need help. And only God can help in those situations. And so as we send our SOS out, understand God is going to see it, and the plane's not going to fly by and miss you. The boat's not going to come by and leave you. God is going to stop and help you when you ask him for help. It's not selfish to ask for help. People ask me all the time, Pastor, I feel selfish asking something for me. Look, he's our Father. He wants to help us. It's not a bit selfish to pray to God to help you. Yeah, we pray for others as well. Of course we do. If you only pray for you, then we might have a little problem. But there's nothing wrong with praying for your needs as well. God, I need help. David cried many times to God throughout his 40-year reign as king for God's help. And God always showed up and helped David. Next verse, Brennan. Psalms 34:17. The righteous cry, and look what it says. The Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. He may not give you the answer you're expecting. He may not respond in the way that you think he should. But his lack of your response doesn't mean he's not responding. And doesn't mean he's not helping. And doesn't mean it's not encouraging. I know I was at the funeral home when the Mahaffey family came in that first day to meet, to get everything lined up. And it was a horrible morning. And they walked in, and I went and sat with them part of the time because I know the family very well. And afterwards, they told me, says, James, you must have been praying. Said, God got us through these couple hours this morning. God helped us get us through. To hear that in their deepest, darkest time, for them to even utter those words, right, in that moment, God helped us get us through this time. I mean, there are things that happen in our lives, if we imagine, we can only imagine, you know, I've not lost a child, so I do not know that hurt. I've not lost a spouse, I've not even lost a parent yet, so I don't know that loss. I've lost grandparents, I've lost uncles and aunts, but I've not lost someone that is in the most intimate part of my circle yet. And I don't have brothers and sisters, so I don't have that to worry about. But I look at this family. How do they do what they did? How do they get through today, tomorrow, the next day? How do they face tomorrow? The reason that we all can face our tomorrow is because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he's alive, I'm alive too. Because I know where my future is and where my future lies, and no amount of death or loss or tragedy or storms or battles or dark seasons, there's not a number or amount of those that can ever change the pattern of the outcome that Christ has prepared for me in the end. Of the trophy I will receive, the crown I will wear, the redemption of my body, the restoration where the sons and daughters come up and arise and walk forward as God called them to in the very beginning. Death can't stop that. The grave can't stop that. Battles can't stop that. Disease can't stop that. Elections can't stop that. Kings can't stop that. Law can't stop that. Nothing can stop the hand of God from moving. He is our helper, our deliverer, our healer, our savior, and he hears you and cares for you. Send your SOS and let God answer you. Send it up and wait for the response. You are not being left by yourself on an island. You're not being abandoned in the dark. God is hearing the heart, the cry of your heart. God is hearing the cry of your mind. God is hearing the depths of your sorrows. I promise you he's hearing those, and he's here to help you, and he shall deliver you out of your troubles. And for the one that went on today at 46 years old, he has been delivered out of all of his earthly troubles. It's not the way we planned. It's not the way mom and dad wanted to go down, or sister or wife. But you know what? All of his cry has been answered, and his life has been changed. And a car accident did not stop him from being delivered out of all of his troubles, as God received him. Next verse, Brandon. Psalms 34:8. The Lord is nigh, that word of course means near, to them that have a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. A broken heart is the hardest thing to fix. Broken hearts come from many different things. Broken hearts can come from the pain of your past, the way you were raised. It can come from parental issues. It can come from marital issues. It can come from children issues. It can come from church issues. A lot of things can break our hearts to where we're broken. But the good news is, no matter how many pieces our heart is broken into like a puzzle, God is able to put it back together piece by piece. God is able to take. I want you to think about, you know, taking a jigsaw puzzle and just throwing up in the air and it just falling everywhere and it makes no sense. That may be our life today, right? It just makes no sense. We have no direction. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know where to go from here. We don't know that if God's going to answer this or not answer it the way we want. We don't know. But I do know that he is able to take that puzzle that's dumped right now in front of you, your life, and he is able to piece it back together and fix your brokenness. He is there to mend your broken heart. He is there to put love back in. Maybe you put a wall up of life, and this wall is up because of pain and because of hurt and because of trauma and because of a lot of things that make sense, and I get that. There are things that people experience that can scar them for the rest of their lives, and we put a wall up sometimes. We don't allow God to help us because of this wall, but God wants to get behind your wall and help you and tear down that wall and bring peace again and bring healing again and bring deliverance and bring breakthrough again to where you can walk in joy and peace and strength and power again, forgetting that which is behind, as Paul says, and looking ahead to that which is before. We can't stay in yesterday when God's called us into tomorrow. We can't look back yonder when God's got something over here waiting on us. So let go of what was and embrace what is right now. Hallelujah. This is what God does. He fixes us when we're broken. He fixes us, and I'm so thankful for that. There is not a broke heart that God cannot put back together. Next scripture, Mr. Brandon. Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, here's a scripture we don't always hear, okay? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, right? Not the evil saint, not the evil sinners out there. The Bible's saying many are the afflictions of the righteous. You mean I'm God's child and I've got to go through afflictions? Yep. Y-E-P, exclamation point. Yep. Absolutely, we go through afflictions. We go through the same storms every human being goes through to a degree. Some are worse than others. Some are different seasons than others. Like I said, I've been very blessed not to have to bury a child or a parent or a wife. And I hope it always stays that way. In reality, it may not, of course. And so all of us will experience a season to where we will go through great loss. Well, we will lose someone that we love. Our body will change. You know, you won't always be this fine machine that it is tonight in front of you. It'll break down. I get that. Age, what's the old saying? Father time catches up with everybody. And so I can't jump as high as I could or run quite as fast as I could. But I can still run. And I can still jump. So I give God. You say, ouch. That hurt you just saying it. So you know what? My knees may pop every now and then, but that's okay. I'm a trucking right along. We're going to have afflictions in life. We're going to have heartache. You know, I think about people I love, you know, people that I've lost. You know, I've lost two very good minister friends of mine, you know, in my lifetime. I lost Brother Henderson at a very young age, him being a young age. And I lost Brother Bunton at a young age. They're both in their 50s. Two great men of God. Two very different men of God in my life. And they both had impacts in different ways in my life. Very much. Two different impacts completely. Didn't seem fair, these great men of God, these pastors that had such a heart. And both of these ministers had such a heart for God. They loved people and they loved God. They had such a tender inside, both of them. You know what? They had afflictions. Battled cancer. The other one battled heart disease. When Bishop Tony Mutton, when he passed, they found him in his bedroom. He was gone. They found him on his knees on the bed in a praying position when he died. His sons told me that. They found him in a praying position. You know what? It doesn't seem fair that things like that happen. It doesn't seem fair for this family today to go through this. It doesn't seem fair. They were coming back for a great day in Boone, just traveling along and boom, just an accident, life is over. So we're all going to go through afflictions, but once again, we have a promise here. But the Lord, look at that, L-O-R-D, right? The Lord delivereth us out of them all. Just because we go through afflictions doesn't mean that God's not there. Just because we go through afflictions and storms doesn't mean that we're doing something that God's mad at. We're going to go through afflictions and storms. All of us are. We all, if I pass the mic, we've all got a battle. We've all got something we wish. If we had a magic lamp, we'd rub it and say, this is what I wish would happen. Okay? You know, I wish this would happen in my life. I wish God would fix this or fix, you know, my child, or fix my marriage, or fix my body, or fix my finances, or fix, you know, my spirit. Fix something. We all got something we could pass around, so I wish God would fix it. But in the end, he does deliver us out of them all. In the end, we will come through. That's why David said in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, walking through something is an action that means progressive movement, right? You're not just, you don't get trapped in that shadow. You're walking through it. It's like going through a tunnel. You've been through them West Virginia tunnels? You go through them tunnels, right? Aren't you glad you don't stay in the tunnel? Phew. Well, I am. You ever hold your breath through a tunnel? You ever did that? It's the kind of trick you do. You hold your breath as you go through a tunnel. I've done that before. As soon as you enter, and you hold your breath while you go through a tunnel. Just pray it's not a long one. So you go through it. But you know what? You come out to the other side. It's light on this side. You go through, right through the heart of a mountain where it's pitch black dark, but then you come out on the other side and there's light again. That's God. See, life is the tunnel that we're going through. Life's our tunnel. We're going through times of darkness. Sometimes it seems inescapable. It seems irreversible. It seems like it's never going to end. Then all of a sudden, that darkness turns into light. Our mourning turns into joy, right? Our ashes turn into dancing again. Because God hears us and God delivers us. Ask him for help. Next verse, Brendan. Psalms 34:20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Go to the next one. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That means empty. If I trust God, I'm not going to be empty. He's going to give me what I need. I may not get the miracle thing I need today, but I'll get the faith to hang on for one. Or I'll get the peace to get through it. Or I'll get the joy in my moment to still praise no matter what I see. If nothing changes, I'll get the joy to still praise God through it because he's given me what I needed. When I ask for help, here's some joy. Here's some peace. Here's some strength. Here's some breakthrough power. Here's something that you need to keep trusting in me in the darkness. We may not be delivered out of our darkness today, but we can still see the light in our darkness through Christ. He gives us what we need. He doesn't leave us empty. God's like a good old grandma as a grandkid. You go to her house, she feeds you something, packs you some groceries. I got extra cookies. Take these home, take this home, take this home. You want something else? You want something else? They love feeding you, right? They love, you know, make sure you got plenty to eat. I told you a story about my grandma. When I grew up, my dad was a very boring cereal guy. He liked the basics. Corn flakes. If I got lucky, maybe Frosted Flakes. But he's very, very basic. I go to grandma's house. Oh, my Lord, she had Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, Sugar Smacks, Corn Pops, Cocoa Puffs, Lucky Charms. It's like a grocery store. I gave her more than I was giddy like a little girl. I don't know what to pick. It's not cornflakes. Hallelujah. Ain't cornflakes. And I had so much excitement picking that out. What was my point? Oh, grandma had always made sure she fed me, right? I had plenty. And then, of course, my kids through the years went to my parents' house. They'd always feed the kids, fix them special little dinners and, you know, breakfasts or whatever, and take them, you know, give them special little treats. They're not going to leave empty. That's one thing about my dad. He's good. He'll make sure you leave full. He'll feed you. He won't let you go hungry. Just don't go to Arby's with him. He won't leave you hungry. Well, my grandma's cereal cabinet was quite a treat. And as growing up with my parents, I knew they provided. I knew I always had what I needed. They provided. God provides for you what you need. You know what? I don't blame them. I don't do it for my kids either. I didn't get the $100 shoes growing up. I didn't get the high-dollar jeans and clothes growing up. I got good, nice, new clothes. But I got, you know, in the middle of the line clothes. Never had a pair of Air Jordans. Never had a pair of Air Jordans. You got any pair of Air Jordans? I never had a pair. All the kids were wearing the original black and red Air Jordans. Oh, they were so cool. But you know what? They were like $100 back then in the 80s. Good Lord, that's like $500 now. But you know what? I always knew my parents provided. Our spiritual father gives us what we need. He provides. He provides. I never worried as a child about food, never worried about housing, never worried about clothes, never. Everything was provided for me as a child. Everything, even the Brussels sprouts, they are provided. Didn't always like them, but you know what? They're provided. I actually tried a piece of a Brussels sprout about a month ago at this restaurant we went to. Melly made me. She put it on my plate and says, James, look, you've got to. It was some kind of special seasoned. It had all this stuff on it. It wasn't, you know, it was a really good, supposed to be a good Brussels sprout, right? I took a little piece about that big. Ugh. Just tastes bitter to me. I just don't like them that bitter. Anyway, we're off topic. The point is, as my parents provided for me, as I provided for my children the best that I could, God provides for us. You may be wanting a T-bone steak and it gives you a Brussels sprout. It's okay. You know what? A Brussels sprout's what you need right now. So chew on that, eat it, and thank God for it. That I've got a Brussels sprout. Next verse. Psalms 46:1. Oh, we love this verse, right? God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very what? Present. Help in trouble. He's not a past presence, or he's not a future presence. He's a present presence. He's a present presence in our life. He cares about what you're going through in this year. He cares about your season right now. He cares about every phone call you get that maybe turns your life upside down. He cares for every doctor diagnosis. He cares for every tragedy or battle or storm. He's a present help in your trouble. God is not way over yonder somewhere. He's not some distant God that doesn't hear us. All we got to do is talk to him, and we will feel his presence in our lives. You can't help but talk to God from your heart and feel him touch you. Feel his peace come upon you. Hear his voice speak to you. If you're not hearing him, just keep talking to him. If you're not feeling him, keep talking to him, because he is present right now. He's not distant. He's near. Next verse, I think it's verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. You know what the Word of God is saying? No matter what in your world shakes up, God's your help. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what mountain appears. Don't matter what roars in your life. Don't matter what rises up. There is truly, and I know it's easy to say this, we're not going through a major battle, but there's truly nothing that could ever come into our lives that should take away the praise of our God from our lips. Nothing. There should be no amount of tragedy or distress that takes away our praise for what Jesus has done for us. God, you died for my sins. I'm not going to be separated from you ever. I'm going to be connected to you from this moment on because of what you did at the cross. And God, if you did nothing else, like that song Ashley sung a couple weeks ago, says, you know, Lord, you don't owe me a thing. I didn't come here for blessings. You don't owe me nothing. He gave us everything. How much more could he give us than eternal life? How much more could he give you than everlasting peace? To know no matter if the seas roar. We've seen this year the seas have roared and the mountains have moved and the earth has shook. We've seen so much since January. It's been the longest 10 months I remember. I mean, it's still just October. It's like, man, this has been the longest year. Because we're seeing things so different. But through all of that, he is our help in time of trouble. So God, I'll still praise you and I'll give you thanks and glory, because what's happened this year here has not changed who you are there. Nothing that's happened here, God, this past year has changed who you are. You're saying God from everlasting to everlasting. Next scripture, Brandon. Go to the next one. I hadn't read that one. 63:7 in Psalms. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. Think about that. Aren't you thankful for help when someone helps you and really rescues you? Me and Melanie got lost. I'll never forget. It was such a vivid moment night for me. I was really scared. I was in my 20s. Still have my red Firebird. That's how long ago that was. We're coming back from her aunt's house one night late. It's about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. We're went over for Christmas, or I think it's Christmas and dinner. We're coming back really late. And I'm coming down. I'm coming down the road there. And I'm supposed to get off on the I-40 ramp and come back home. I'm on 52, Highway 52. And I'm supposed to be getting on the I-40. And I get off somehow. I don't know. I still, when I go through there now, I look, I say, why did I get off there? Was I a moron? Did I have too much eggnog? I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know why I got off this exit. But I get off this exit. As soon as I'm going, I'm like, this ain't good. I mean, we in a bad part of town. I mean, bad part of town. People are in the streets. They're all staring at us. They're starting to walk toward us. I'm getting really nervous. So I pull up. I'm going down there, and Emily said, James, I said, I know. The more we went, the more narrow it got. And the more people there were. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I said, I don't know how to get out of here, Emily. There was a cop sitting over there. I rolled down my window. Before I said anything, the cop says, you're lost, aren't you? That's what he said. Yeah. He goes, lock your doors. Don't stop at any red lights. Follow me. I'm taking you back to interstate. You don't need to be back here. I said, thank you. I was so thankful. And I've been pulled many times. I don't like that now. I don't give God thanks for that. But this night, I gave God thanks. When that cop happened to be sitting there, and he led us out all the way back on 40, I was so thankful. When someone helps you, you're thankful. Remember the times God's helped you and rejoice. God, you saved me. You helped me. Almost had a bad wreck a week ago. I'm getting off the mall exit back on 77. It's really tight there, not a very good ramp. You know, I'm going by Starbucks there and internal interstate and coming around that loop. And I'm going, and all of a sudden, I look up, I mean, I'm going, and the traffic just stops. I mean, slams on its brakes. I hit my brakes and had to veer over to the passing lane, or I would have slammed the back of that car. And I didn't even look beside me. It was either slam that car or jerk over. I had nowhere to go. And I jerked over just enough to miss that car and stop. And there was a wreck right ahead of me is what happened. Everybody was stopped. And I remember as I started, you know, pulling away, I was like, thank you, Lord, for helping me. Because I'm telling you, I shouldn't have got stopped. I really saw myself going to the back of that car and not getting stopped. And I know God helped me. I know God was there. I know God was involved in that. It wasn't just, you know, I'm a dynamic driver, which I'm pretty good, Melanie, if you're watching. But it was God did that. It was all God. And I thank God for that. So when you think about your life, think about all the time God has helped you. And then you thank him for it and rejoice. God, you saved me. You spared me. You watched me. You met my need. You got me through it in the day. You helped me here. I think we all have testimonies of where God, we know God helped us get through what we was going through. Next verse. We're going to wrap it up here. Isaiah 40:10, I love this verse. It ain't the right one, I don't think. Do I got another verse in Isaiah? That ain't right, 40:10. Let's go to the next one. That's not the right verse. I'm sorry. And I love that verse. I must have put it really wrong. Go to Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. You know what God is saying? This is Jesus speaking these words. Ask for help. Seek for help. I promise you, I'll answer. May not be what you want to hear. It's like when you're raising kids, you tell them many times things they don't want to hear. Did you ever tell Tiffany and Shelly no? Plenty of times, right? Never liked it, did they? Never said, oh, you're such a good daddy telling us no. Thank you, daddy. Oh, no. Well, they didn't give you no praise for that. But you gave them an answer. Sometimes we're like that. We're like a spoiled kid. God answers us. No. We slam the door. I don't want that answer, God. I'm waiting for another answer. Well, that's you ask for help. That's what you need to do. You ask for an answer. Here's the answer. Don't always like the answer. Ever. Now, if your wife ever says, do I look good in this dress? The answer is always yes. Always yes. God is telling us to ask for help. Send your SOS up, and I promise you, He will help you. He will help you. Cry out to God and hear Him and listen to Him. Listen for the answer. SOS, distress signal. You're not fighting life alone. You're not fighting this battle alone. God is with you every step of the way. Ask for His help every day. I had 40-10, didn't I? Yeah, 41-10. Yes, there I hear that verse. That's the verse. Yeah, I missed it by a chapter. That's my bad. But I love that verse of Isaiah. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my right hand. How many times God hold us? Look, fear not. Why do we have to fear? He's with us. I mean, think about this. He's with us. If me and Gordon's walking down the street and some bad guys walk up, he shouldn't fear. I'm with him. I got James here. We're good. We got God with us. That's why we don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. How can we be discouraged if God of the universe is with us? Because He's our God. He will strengthen us. He will help us. And He will uphold us with His righteous right hand. God is carrying us every single day. Oh, God is carrying us. Thank God for that. You're still here because there's a purpose. You're still alive because He's carrying you, and He's helping you more than you realize. We can't look at someone else where He's helping them a lot more than me, or where their lives are, all their prayers are answered. Why can't you? Don't know what God is doing more than you realize. Where would you be, as Marjorie sings that song, if it weren't for grace, right? An empty shell, an empty place, right? An empty space. I mean, we wouldn't have nothing. Where would we be? Think about if God wasn't involved in our lives, how much worse our lives would be. We think we got it bad now. Take God out of the equation. How bad would it be? God's one I can always go to. I can always count on. You know, when Marjorie lost Steve 4 years ago? 5 years ago. 5 years ago. Lost her best friend. Brandon lost his father, right? I mean, 5 years ago, their world changed, and Steve left this earth and departed. But God didn't. God remained here to help wife and to help children. He remained here to strengthen them and give them what they need to get through every day. Are there bad days? Absolutely, there's bad days. There's many bad days, I'm sure, many bad moments, many bad times, and all of that comes back. But the good thing is, God didn't leave. God didn't leave. That's the real tragedy. That'd be the real fear if God departed from our lives. If all of a sudden we called on God and there was no answer. Or we called on God and He says, I'm not home anymore. We called on God, He says, I'm not hearing you anymore. We call on God, He turned His back on us and left us. That's the real tragedy. As long as we have God, we've got everything. It's all going to be all right. Send your SOS up and ask God for help if you need it. He is there to help you through life's journey, I promise. Father, we close the service out. I thank you for the word tonight. I pray those that have watched tonight or will watch maybe this message later will be encouraged by what they have heard, that they will take this word and apply it to their lives, that they will, God, call upon you for help, that they will realize that their ship needs to be saved. God, if they have things they can't fix, they can't turn around, they can't change, but God, in a moment, in an instant, you can send the resource, you can send whatever it is they need to rescue them out of the pit and to set their feet back on the rock. I pray, God, if this message helps us and strengthens us tonight as we go out of this place, that, God, we leave knowing we're not alone, that we have a God who is with us every moment of our lives, and you are always on duty when we call your name. We thank you for never leaving us. In Jesus' name, amen.